So maybe I'll just pray quickly before I turn it over. Our great God and loving Father, you are worthy of our faith and our trust. You are trustworthy, good and loving, and you've provided your Son Jesus to us, and we couldn't ask for a better God to put all of our hope in. And thank you for Peter and Linda and for what they have to say to us today, which will reveal something of your character and how you've worked in their lives. So we look forward to getting to know you better through them, and we pray that it'll be a blessing for us and also for Peter and Linda. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Testing, testing, 1, 2. You can all hear me? That's great. I thought I might start at the beginning. Do you know, it's been 40 years this year that I pledged my life to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour, and have walked this precious, privileged, and sometimes it seems to me precarious journey upon Salvation Road. 40 years. In biblical terms, it's classified as a generation. So to condense a generation of experiences with my God and his world into 5 minutes is impossible. Impossible, Jean-Pierre. Impossible. Therefore, I'll just share my conversion story. In 1978, I was invited to attend Morley Assemblies of God Church after my friends' constant conversations about the youth group, actually, not about Jesus, but about this amazing youth group. She's clever. So the church was one of many churches at the time that were experiencing a great harvest of young souls. And Morley had one of the biggest children's groups in the 60s and early 70s. And its youth group was very large. Interestingly, though, I didn't attend the youth group first. I found my way one Sunday evening to the church service, being in church only ever after attending church when I was a really little girl in the Salvation Army Sunday School. So to give you some backstory before this time, I had always wondered about the supernatural, which is probably why I soaked up the 12 astrology zodiac signs that teenagers did at that time and even looked into the Book of Mormon. I was searching, but I didn't know what that was, what that meant, or who that was, but my soul was searching. So this night, in April 1978, I sat amongst a congregation of people that sang joyously and clapped vigorously and vocally praised and loved God. They spoke in unusual languages at times, and other people translated in English. My mind at the time was saying, "Whoa, what's happening here?" But my soul was gently saying, "Oh." And then the pastor, a lovely, beautiful man, delivered a message that went straight to my heart. He said, "God has a plan for you. There is a key-shaped part in every human heart that only Jesus can fit. He is the key." I wonder, Jess, if I could have that visual of Larry's faith back up there again. Because it struck me as I saw it. The cross looks like a key shape. And the gentleman standing and walking in the way was being led into a key shape that was the cross. Have you got that there? If you haven't, it's okay. We have good memories here, don't we? We can remember that visual. So that's what was said to me. There it is. Doesn't that look a bit like a key shape to you? It does to me. Thanks, Jess. There is a key-shaped part in every human heart that only Jesus can fit. He is the key. This was the first time I ever heard this. And this fact is enormously significant. Every human being contains that place for Jesus that only he can fill. We are made in God's image to be image bearers, yet through time and time to come, people try to fill it with other things. They have misshapen life beliefs stuffed into their keyholes, and they don't even know it. And I was one until I heard that message. I can't fully explain in words that moment of knowing. Suffice it to say that it was like every part of my brain was filled to capacity with a warm glow and my heart was pulling down on it. I can't actually remember what happened directly after that. I know that I rejected my friend's invitation to go out with them to the Pancake Kitchen, which was a regular haunt every Sunday night. Youth groups, not just Morley, Foursquare, the Apostolic Churches, they used to all meet at the Pancake Kitchen. Anyone remember that? Is it just... Kerry, I know. We're of the same ilk. I decided to go home, so I rejected their invitation. The next part of this story is unusual, unfamiliar, certainly for me. I got into my car and I intended to turn the key, there's that word again, but instead I felt as though a great bucket of tears fell upon me. I began crying and crying and crying, and all the time my mind was telling me, "What's your problem? You're not sad. Why are you crying?" I knew that I needed to go back into that church. I didn't know what I was going to say, but I knew that I needed to get out of the car and go in. So I did. I was totally unaware that a group of youths, including my friend, were huddled together in a corner praying for me. When I re-entered, they sat me down and explained to me that it was God's love pouring out on me. The pastor joined us and told me that as he was ministering, he saw me soak up every word. I was led through the sinner's prayer at that time, a very popular thing to do, which, although I know a lot of people don't like using today, the sinner's prayer gave me a frame to hang my words on that I was able to refer back to many times in the weeks ahead. If you're not used to praying, you don't know, you've never been introduced to God before, you don't know what to say to him, someone leading you through a prayer, certainly for me, was very helpful. And I was able to think of the words that I said many times in the weeks ahead and be able to go back until they had proper meaning for me. So that was important. I didn't know what being a sinner looked like, but I also didn't feel the need to question it. I accepted it and I was filled with faith. I was made new. Every word I heard from the Bible was electric. Reading it took a bit more time. Reading the King James Version is a bit like walking through molasses, isn't it? Until that beautiful translation, the Good News Bible, came out and I was set free. I wonder if you've got your Bibles today. I really love the practice of people getting their Bibles. It's old-fashioned, 40 years ago, I know. But if you've got your Bibles, or you've got your phones that you can flick to, or your tablets, could you please look up Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24? This, and still is, a long-standing favourite of mine, and it is my declaration of devotion to God. You've got it all. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Oh, I love listening to the sound of the thin pages being turned. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Isn't that beautiful? That has been a pledge that I have made to my God and still do. And he honours it. He says, yes, okay. When came the invitation as a young Christian to receive the gift of tongues, I accepted without question. And I can honestly say that the Holy Spirit has been my constant companion, the lover of my soul for 40 years. And I am eternally grateful that I was born anew into a Pentecostal church, a church that was neither afraid nor wary of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. Many times over the years when I have not understood the Father, I have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit who points me to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. It's taken me a few decades to realize the plans of God, the plans he had for me and has for me, but I've realized they're not my plans. I thought perhaps, and many of you might have thought, that it's the plans written about in Jeremiah 29:11, when God says to Israel, "I know the plans I have for you, they're plans to prosper you, Perhaps some people feel it's that plan that you have. Others might feel it's to be a missionary in the deepest, dark areas of Papua New Guinea, Barry and John and Joan. Perhaps it's to be a teacher like Kerry and Andrew and Ben and me. Plans to marry, plans not to marry, plans to have 10 children, plans to not have any. The plans for me, whenever I think of plans, I immediately think of house plans, strangely. I've always loved looking at house plans, drafting my own. What happened? Is that just funny? Oh, okay. You have to give me prompts. Don't know what's doing. I love looking at house plans. So it's plausible that I would use this as a model for you today. And as most of us do, I drew up a blueprint for God to follow. A plan like this? God, maybe? Or maybe a plan like the next one, Jess? Yes, that's more me, isn't it? No, surely. No, Linda. This is the plan I have for you, says God. And I say, no, it has to be the next one. Go back. He says, no, this is the plan I have for you. What, a church? You want me to be a church? Yes. This was his plan and still is for me today. And I love reading this from the Passion. So if you would let me. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. This is what it says. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of Holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. I am a sanctuary. You are a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit. You are a temple, a church for the Holy Spirit. We're part of the church, the body. But you yourselves individually do not belong to yourself anymore. I don't belong to me anymore. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. God has and still has, had and still has a great plan for me.
I wondered why I never received an awful lot to say, and now I know. I normally speak for a long time, I have to admit, so it's only going to be a few minutes here, but Happy New Year to you all. First time before you. Some of you have heard part of my testimony before, so you'll remember this, but some of you won't have, so I was just going to wanted to share a short word of testimony with you. I was reminded of it during the Christmas break. I was reminded how God, over 50 years ago, gently drew me to himself. Already. I was almost in tears when she was talking. I was very young, as you can imagine, over 50 years ago.
An embryo.
But the way he did it was unmistakable. My father was a pastor of a little church in the country. And it felt like we always had Christian music playing in the house. And back in those days, if anybody can remember, it was someone like George Beverly Shea. How many people can remember George Beverly Shea? Absolutely incredible voice, but you listen to it today and you go, whoa, things have changed a bit, haven't they? Or if it wasn't music, it was some kind of ministry, message, sermon, whatever, playing in the house when I was growing up. And I must have been in earshot one day of a series of testimonies on this reel-to-reel tape player that Dad had playing. And it wasn't the first time that I'd heard this type of thing, so it wasn't unusual, as I said, but the impact of those words on that day just like this to my heart. I don't remember a specific word that was said, but I remember, much like what Linda was just saying there, I remember feeling something just come over me that was really unusual. And it stopped me. Whatever I was probably sitting, I might have been like these kids here, colouring in or something. I was about that sort of age. So whatever I was doing, I stopped. It just stopped me in my tracks. And it brought me to tears. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I know it's hard to imagine these days, but My mother obviously saw enough of what was happening to know that it was, she saw enough to know that something had happened, and she followed me to my room where I'd gone. And at that age, I didn't know what was happening. But after speaking with me, my mother realized that it was God. She spoke with me, prayed with me, just in simplicity. I see that event as God getting my attention. I had a real encounter with God that set me on a path to seek Him. And to this day I am. And I don't know why I cry. The way I envisage this, I've got a heart cord and He pulls on it. Honestly, it does. It feels like something just, I can feel like somebody playing a harp in my heart. That experience didn't leave me scared of God. It left me in total awe. I think in some ways my eyes were opened, but more importantly, my heart was opened to think of Him, to imagine, to seek Him. What I did, which I did from this time, I realized, even just listening to Linda's testimony, I realized it doesn't happen the same way for everybody. Okay, so I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this is the way God came to me. But I think it's a common thread. God reveals Himself to us. But the thing that I was reminded of recently over Christmas, as I thought of it, and I knew we were going to give a testimony, and I was reminded of my experience, my initial experience, really, that I can remember. But I've had others during my life. But I was reminded of a Christmas as we thought about the Christmas story, that amazing story of God coming to earth as a man. Absolutely amazing. Is that just as Christmas slowly recedes into the past for another year? It's only been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? But, you know, it can feel like it's been a long time already. Just as it recedes, we can slowly lose our wonder at who God is and what He's done. Remembering again my experience in childhood, I was reminded that God is an awesome God. He's a God of wonder, a God who's too big for us to comprehend, too holy for us to approach without the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. But it seems so easy for us to lose that awe, that wonder, and to end up with a very small God, who really isn't all-powerful, who really isn't all-knowing, and not really the perfect, loving Heavenly Father that He is. In the words of Isaiah chapter 28, verse 29, He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Or in Psalm 147, great is our God and our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. So at the start of another year, I just encourage you to think bigger of God. Think better of God. Resist the thoughts that want to make Him smaller, less perfect. Because you can't think too highly of Him. He is the one being. There is nothing higher. Anything you can think of, you can't think higher than God. He's absolutely perfect. So have a wonderful year, or putting it another way, have a year full of wonder. Amen. Amen.